Raul Torres, who is 55, once was a big man in his hometown of Juncos, Puerto Rico. A successful businessman, he owned a nice house, three cars, and a nightclub. Today, he pastors Primera Iglesia Bautista Hispania in Elgin, Illinois. And believe me, that's a tongueful to say. And his neighborhood knows him for his special table ministry. School children, juvenile offenders, and families in crisis turn to him when they need a listening ear or a straight answer. Torres' life changed on January 24, 1982, when he attended an evangelistic rally in Juncos. During the invitation, Torres, in tears, came forward, followed by his wife, Magdalia, and their three sons. Yearning for inner peace, he stopped pursuing money and started following Jesus. "I learned that money is not happiness," he said. For the past 6 years, he has volunteered as a community chaplain with Elgin Police Department. John Deck, senior police chaplain, describes Torres as a peacemaker. He's very compassionate and soft-spoken. When Deck hears of a crisis involving Spanish-speaking family, he's quick to call Torres. Wherever Torres goes, he sits down with people around a table and discusses their problems before giving them a biblical counsel. "The table is the centerpiece of all my ministry," he says. For this third Sunday after Epiphany, we find in our scripture the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the ending of John the Baptist's ministry. Jesus has been baptized by John, anointed by the Holy Spirit, affirmed by God, and finally tested and tempted by the devil in the desert. Now that Jesus has returned from the desert, he finds that John is locked up for his preaching. So he starts his own public ministry by proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Repent and believe. Repent and believe. What does Jesus mean by repent? Well, in this case, he means something more than just coming to the altar or going, getting on our knees and asking God to forgive us for a particular sin that we've committed. That's something we need to do as Christians on a regular basis. But what he's talking about here when he says repent and believe, he's talking about making a life change. He's talking about repenting from a life of sin, a life of following all those secular things that we think we need to follow, money, power, stuff, and turning our life around and beginning to follow Christ. In other words, we are supposed to give up our old ways of living by sinful impulses and begin living by Christ. A prime example of this is found in the story I shared with you a few minutes ago about Raul Torres. He quit following money and power and started following God. And his story is not unlike the disciples found in our scripture today, who were the first four that were called to follow Christ. Raul had everything he wanted: a good business, money, and a family. Simon, Andrew, James, and John were all in prospering businesses as well and had family responsibilities. In fact, for some of them, their businesses were so well, they had hired hands. So it wasn't like, you know, sometimes we read that and we think, well, they were poor fishermen that didn't have, you know, two nickels to rub together anyways. So to go follow Christ was, a better thing, even by society's standards. But they were actually quite well off. Fishing was a good industry to be in those times. Furthermore, by just walking away from their jobs and families, they actually broke one of the customary laws of that time. It's true. You see, back then, if you worked in the family business, which most of them, all four of these guys were in family businesses, which meant that their fathers or uncles or whoever probably actually ran it and they helped them run it, you couldn't just walk away from the family business. You had to get permission. If it was their father that was running the business, they would have had normally, by customary rules, they would have had to go and petition their father to release them from that business so they could go and pursue something else. Not to mention, you weren't supposed to just walk off and leave your family standing either. But they did. They just turned and started following Christ, just like that. Raul, like the disciples, repented and believed and immediately followed Christ. They all made drastic changes in their lives in just moments. Not hours, not weeks, not months, not years, in moments. That fast, they changed their life. And this is part of what Christ is calling us to do. To give up everything and go in a totally different direction than what we were doing before. If we're chasing after money, you know, chasing after wealth and power and prestige and all those things, then God is saying, okay, it's time to stop and follow me. And when you follow me, that means you're going this way instead of going this way. Because you're not going to be chasing those other things anymore. And that's kind of what happened to me. I've never been wealthy. I don't want to give you that thought. Far from it. But I worked in a family business. And I chased after money. We had to have a good house. We had to have all these things. And I felt it was my responsibility to take care of my family. And at one point, I even worked two jobs. And then I finally realized that Christ was putting a call in my life to do something. And when I accepted that call, it was overnight that I decided, that's it, I've got to do what He's calling me to do. Now, it took months to put everything into play, but I made that decision and began to work towards that immediately. And that's what Christ is calling us to do. But it doesn't end there. Because as we see a little further into our scripture, Jesus calls us to be fisher of men. Fisher of men? What's He talking about? Fisher of men? Some of you may be like me. I've gone fishing, but if I don't have somebody tell me what to do, I can't even catch a darn fish. All I know is put the hook in the water and wait, you know. Oh, you got to put bait on that? I didn't know that. Okay. Fishers of men, what is He calling us to do there? Well, if we read the Bible, we notice that Jesus uses different analogies at different times to explain what it is He's trying to call us to. And in this case, Simon, Andrew, James, and John were all what we would call today commercial fishermen. So He's using a fishing analogy to get their attention and maybe to get some of our attentions. And commercial fishermen use large nets. I was hoping to have a net here, but I don't own one. But they use large fishing nets, not poles. And in order to get the fish into the nets, they have to chum the water. Now, chumming is a process where you throw a bait product into the water, and some of you know this, to get the fish all stirred up, you know. And they get all excited, and they start feeding on this stuff on the top of the water. And you see them all kind of bouncing around in the water. They're all excited because, ooh, this stuff smells stinky, and I like it. You know, and they're all excited about it. And when you get all the fish chummed up, then you throw your net in the water. And you catch the fish. Okay, well, to carry this analogy back to what Christ is trying to say, the Holy Spirit is chumming the people of the world up. You see, out there is the oceans of people out there that need to hear God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is stirring them up. He's chumming them up. He's getting them excited about wanting to eat on something. To look for something like direction and peace in their lives. And we know that's true because we see people every day that are looking for something. They may be looking in the wrong places, but they know that there's something they're missing in their lives and they're looking for it. They may be looking for it in drugs and alcohol and sex. They may be looking for it in a cult, but they're looking for it because He's chumming them up. They're hungry for it. And Jesus is calling His church, which is you and me, to cast our net and catch them. He said, well, preacher, what are you talking about, cast our net? I don't even own a net. You know, what do you mean cast a net? The net is not a fishing net
the net is this. When we share what's in here with the people out there that are looking for something, they get hung up on it. They get caught up on it. Because that's what they're looking for. And when we get them caught in our net, then we bring them in. Just like the fishermen bring the fish in. We bring them in. We bring them home. Think of it this way. This church, the building is our boat. And the world out there is the ocean in which we are called to go and be fishers of men. And we need to take our nets and cast it out and bring those people in. You can even look, if you look at, take a minute, everybody look up like that. Look at the ceiling shape of the shape of the ceiling almost looks a little bit like a flat bottom boat. If you know what a flat bottom boat looks like. It'd be a big one. But it looks kind of like a flat bottom boat. And think about that. Every time you come in here, this is the boat. And that's the ocean out there that we need to be fishing in. Paul in his epistles refers to this part of Christ's call in our life as the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Many of you heard it put that way. Which is to go and make disciples for Christ. Jesus is saying the same thing here. Become fishers of men. Make disciples of Christ. It's the same thing. To get out there and give people what's in here. Let them know what's in here. They're looking for it. They just don't know where to look. So now we understand that our call is a two-part call. That we are called to repent and believe. That is to turn our lives around and follow Christ. And then we are called to be fishers of men. Or to go make disciples of Christ. But the other important thing we need to know is that there is an urgency on this call to do this now. When he called the disciples back then, when he called those four that we were looking at today in our scripture, they went right then. There was no time. There was no time to make plans. There was no time to go home and tell the wife. There was no time they didn't give 2 weeks' notice to their job. They turned and they started following Christ right then. And left everything behind them. Christ's call in our lives has the very same urgency today as it did then. There's so much going on in this country and in this world that many religious leaders believe that God isn't going to let it continue much longer. And many of us who study the Bible and are faithful probably have the same feelings. We just wonder, well, how much more of this garbage can go on? Now, I don't want to sound like an end times fanatic, but we must answer Christ's call in our lives and set about doing the work of the Lord immediately. Time is of the essence. I believe in my heart, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I believe in my heart that time is near, that it's not that much longer. For sure, with this impending war, we don't know what that's going to bring. There's no time to say, well, I know God's calling me to do something, and maybe I'll get to that in a couple of weeks. I'm just not ready yet. Or, I need to think about that some more. It's time to quit stirring with it. It's time to go on with it. To get busy about it. And many of you have, and praise God for that. But many of us have not yet. Many of us maybe have repented and believed, but we haven't taken the second half of that call to heart yet. To go and be fishers of men. We must be like Raul Torres and quit chasing money and other worldly things and start following Christ. We need to be like those four disciples and be ready to be fishers of men instead of fishermen. The time is now. We can't wait. If you've been feeling a call on your life, or maybe you've been hesitant to really start, really to completely follow Christ, to fully repent, but you know He's been after you to do it, don't wait any longer. The time is now. We need to be fisher of men. We need to repent and believe. We need to let other folks know about what's in this good book. It's not about numbers. You know, I need to be clear on that. So many times people say, well, you know, the preacher's talking about going out and getting people. He just wants to fill the pews. He wants to increase the numbers in the church. It's not about numbers. It's about saving souls. God has called each one of us to go out and save souls. To be a part of His saving grace. It's not about numbers as far as filling church pews or growing a church or becoming the biggest church on the block. It's not about that. It's about fulfilling what God has called us to do, and that is to go out and be fishers of men. To participate in His ministry of saving souls. Will you pray with me?